Welcome, welcome. We are proud to present our annual Christmas program. This year, Joe Biden will be played by Charlie Brown, and Rachel Maddow will be played by Lucy.
What's the matter, Joe? Don't you think America's great?
It's all wrong.
Look, Joe, let's face it. We all know that America is a big capitalistic racket. It's run by big corporations.
Well, this is one presidency that is not going to be based on capitalism.
Look, Joe, what do you want?
Everyone gets a fair share. We need an equitable economy.
Hey, perhaps a Green New Deal. A great, big, shiny, build back better plan. That's it, Biden. You get the plan. I'll handle this crowd.
Okay, I'll take Hunter with me, the smartest guy I know. The rest of you practice your lies.
Get the most expensive plan you can find, Biden. We're not paying for it. Maybe paint it red.
Yeah, do something right for a change, Brandon.
Approximately 10 hours later.
We're back.
Boy, you are stupid, Joe Biden.
What kind of plan is that?
You were supposed to create a good plan. Can't you even tell a good plan from a poor plan?
I told you he'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to get anything right.
You're hopeless, Biden. Completely hopeless.
Come on, man.
You've been dumb before, Brandon, but this time you really did it.
I guess you're right, Hunter. I shouldn't have picked this plan. Everything woke turns to shit. I guess I really don't know what America is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what America is all about?
Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time, in the house. And just to let you know, I'm being real quiet because Miss Heidi over here has a headache. It's her time of the month. So what's going on, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi. It's not my time of the month.
Jesus.
I have Wuhan.
On blast.
Hey, everybody. Breathing on you.
Welcome to my world, these two idiots.
Oh, my God. Shoot, Sully Saul. How's everything going in Pittsburgh?
Amazing. I got my life back. Oh, guys, I'm heading out to Arizona again, so I'll be out there for Christmas.
Yay!
Ironically, I'll be in New York, so.
Oh, that sucks, homie. We won't cross paths then? Are you going to be there all week?
Yes.
They're going to lock him up in New York.
No, I'm not going back to New York. I was lying because I don't want to see her.
You got the place to yourself.
I was like, oh, man.
Saul, stay here.
Yeah, I'll take care of Rocco for you.
Use his car. Use his house.
Rocco might bite you.
Nah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on this episode of The Salty Show, we are going to try to avoid politics on this episode. I do want to talk about...
Oh, good stuff is happening.
I want to talk about the metaverse. I'm telling you guys, we're going to get into this conversation. If you don't know what the metaverse is, we're going to try to give you like a little rundown and maybe even sneak into the latest, what was it, town hall that Facebook had and talk about some of that. Anyway, all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
I just want to say, Mark Zuckerberg, he's sitting down.
You know this for a fact?
Lizards apparently do.
He saw his vagina.
Look at him. Look at him. He looks like he's in the betaverse.
He totally looks super creepy. Like he's got,
it's
you know,
the,
he's got to be
the betaverse.
He's got to be a pedophile or a rapist.
Wow,
something.
No,
it's the betaverse. Guys, we're gonna go.
Seriously, he's creepy.
We're gonna watch some of the town hall, and he's weird. He's a freaking albino.
He looks like he's on something all the time.
Yeah, he's still
his eyes are bloodshot. He's disgusting.
Well, alrighty then. There's that.
All right. Well, let's get down to what do we got to this episode? The J Files.
J File.
Oh. Uh-oh. What do you got for us today, Jeremy? Oh, you know what? I didn't even check the links.
All right.
Oh, no.
Oh, you didn't even check. All right.
I'll start
out.
All right. Go ahead.
First story.
He was not ready.
Okay. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Last week, a team of five Norwood, Massachusetts cannabis confectioners took 24 hours to create a world record-breaking pot brownie.
Good for them.
Wait, how big is it?
The treat is 850 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Measuring 3 foot by 3 foot by 15 inches tall and contains more than 200,000 milligrams of THC. The massive marijuana brownie was created by MaryMed, a multi-state cannabis operator, to celebrate National Brownie Day, which was on the 8th. Did you guys know that December 8th was National Brownie Day?
No. It just moved.
Yes. So besides the cannabis, the behemoth brownie also contains 13,044 eggs, 250 pounds of sugar, 212 pounds of butter, 81 pounds of flour, and 120 pounds of cocoa powder.
How come they all look like they had some of it before they took the picture?
Yeah, they look a little excited.
So, that does not look tasty.
That looks fucking phenomenal.
It looks a little burnt. Edibles, brownies, do they look burnt like that? Is it just a natural characteristic of having
It's because the picture on the screen is definitely a lot blurrier. No, because
you can't bake something that size evenly. All the way through.
It took them 24 hours. So I'm assuming they did it at like a low temperature or something. Yeah. So a MaryMed spokesperson stated that the brownie is equivalent to 4,000 of the customer's normal size brownies, which contain 5 milligrams each.
It'll fucking kill you.
They plan to sell the big brownie to their medical marijuana customers, basically.
Oh, they're going to cut off a sliver?
They're going to chop it into
pieces. I just want to fucking jump right in the middle of that thing.
Have you guys ever had edibles?
So here's.
Yeah,
I have
gummies.
Gummies.
I know, Jeremy. We had a conversation that you said that if ever it becomes legal, that you would.
Yeah, I'm not a big. I don't like smoke, so you can get it with gummy bears, or I like brownies, so I would probably try a brownie above anything.
With vanilla ice cream,
or Norwood.
Not that one.
The whole thing? I don't know, probably kill me, right? So the article does go on to say, although the cannabis creation is larger than the current record holder for the world's largest brownie, which is at 243 pounds. Oh, my God. This thing is three times the size of the previous record holder. But here's the kicker. The Guinness World Records apparently isn't that high on its including it in the future book.
I see what you did there.
Yes, I see what you did there. So anyways, a MaryMed rep said the company did apply to the Guinness Book of World Records, and they got a response saying it no longer accepts applications or creations of new record titles that are related to the consumption, preparation, or use of tobacco, cannabis, or nicotine.
Well, that's
woke.
Yeah,
Is it woke or is it? I don't know. Woke. But I thought that was kind of interesting that Guinness is like the Guinness Book of World Records is like, no, we're not going to create
a
category.
Don't they have the biggest penis in there?
I don't know.
See, I think what they should do.
The floppiest, the biggest lips on a vagina.
Who can make the brownie high? That should be a world record, right? If you can make the brownie,
I'm pretty sure they were high.
How tall it is?
That should definitely be.
Yeah, but so I guess the previous record holder was 243 pounds. So this is like 3.5 times the size.
699.
What? That was the most random. 699. Are you high?
You said 233 pounds. So this one's 699 pounds.
Oh.
Okay.
She's high.
I'm on meds. I have Wuhan.
And she's in my house.
And she's on her. Yep. And she's on her time.
Period.
Ooh, what the fuck is going on? Total audit.
She's menstruating.
I felt that hot air in my ear.
Menstruated in 7 years, you freaks.
Ew. You're stupid.
Are we? All right. Anyway, next story.
I love the pot brownie.
You like the pot? Okay. The next story.
Florida man.
Actually, I don't think I have any Florida.
God damn
today.
It. There's always a good Florida story.
Three people are dead and hundreds are injured after inclement weather rouses hordes of venomous scorpions out of their hiding places and into streets and homes.
Oh, whoa. Shit.
Where is this at?
Vicious rain, dust storms, and snow in the southern city of Aswan, last week drove out scorpions as well as snakes.
Hate snakes.
I hate scorpions.
It's coming for you. It's coming. You want to shut me up? Throw a snake on me.
Those.
All right, I got the funniest scorpion story, guys. Hold on, sorry. All right, you go ahead. I'll let you finish. All right, go ahead.
Let me finish. All right. So those who were injured were being treated with anti-venom at hospitals as well as medical centers in located in remote areas. Health officials even called in doctors that were on vacation to help treat the influx of patients.
Wow.
Yeah, so residents were being asked to stay in their homes by the governor to avoid traffic because of the rain and stuff. So
how did they die from it again? Like they get stung, but they got stung.
Basically, so they're referring to here to the flat-tailed scorpion. The Egyptian flat-tailed scorpion, I guess, is like one of the most deadly scorpions in the world. And okay. So apparently there was a large number of them that got out and just basically ransacked everybody in the houses or whatever. And
it doesn't say go. It doesn't show you the demographics of the people who died, right? It's not like were they old people?
No. This was in Egypt.
That's so weird.
Egyptians.
No, they're Egyptians. It doesn't give any sort of detail.
It looks like the kind of scorpions that you see out in Arizona, like because that's what they look like.
I'm pretty sure they're more venomous in that desert.
All right. So, anyways, I think I told you guys the scorpion story. This is freaking hilarious, but it happened to me. When I was in Arizona, I had a buddy of mine had come over and we were editing some video and, we order pizza and whatever, and we sat down to eat pizza and I felt the scratch on my shin and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And I kept pulling my pants up and every time I pulled my pants up, I didn't see anything. And then like the third time, I'm like, what? Something's going on, right? And then I sat down, and right when I was about to sit down, I felt this sting on my butt, dude. Like, but hold on. I didn't know it was a sting. I just felt my leg go freaking, I don't know how to explain it. Have you guys ever been stung?
It felt like twice.
A shock. It sucks. Like a freaking, and my buddy's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I thought my leg was giving out or something. And I went to sit down again. And again, I felt the same thing. And I'm like, And I'm like, what? And then I was like, something's in my pants. And I pulled my pants down. My buddy.
You just did. You dropped it on to us.
My buddy looks at me. He's like, are you trying to come on to me? And I'm like, no, I swear to God. And then I look at the floor and the scorpion is like face up like this, you know, with his legs up.
Upside down.
And my buddy's like freaks out and he starts checking himself. And he's like, oh, my God, it's on me. But yeah,
it came with the pizza delivery.
I did lose taste when that happened. So I guess that.
So you had the original COVID.
It was the original Wuhan.
Ground zero.
Original scorpion.
All right, what else you got, Jeremy?
All right, a house in Sydney that might be the skinniest house in the city.
What?
That doesn't make any sense. Sorry, I'm reading the article. I didn't make any sense. Basically, there's this house in Sydney that's considered the skinniest house in the city, and it's going out on the market for an unbelievable asking price. If you want a piece of real estate in the massive, desirable Darling Point area in Australia, you better bring your checkbook. The four-story house might only be 6 meters wide. But it still boasts a whole heap of luxuries and some of the best views in Sydney. So you believe that is 6 meters wide. That's how wide this house is. All right. According to the man tasked with selling this unique property, the asking price is cheap at just $15.5 million.
That shit.
And that's because it's so skinny. So there's a 6 foot wide house. I'm sorry, 6 meter wide house, which is about 18 feet, right? So you figure a normal two-door garage door, right? That's about 20 feet. So it's narrower than a two-car garage.
Perfect house for this soul.
It is. It'd be a mansion for me. But hold on. I'm curious about the property here. How'd this work out? Like, How did this land carved? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, so there's a picture. Go ahead, you know, we'll put the link in the description below, right? But yeah, so the real estate agent Benjamin Goodwin states that buying a piece of Darwin Point for such a low price is completely out of the ordinary, right? So the property boasts four bedrooms, three bathrooms, two spots for your car, and an outdoor swimming pool. So I don't know about you guys, but that's not much of a selling point for a $15.5 million house.
No,
right?
It's not worth $15 million.
Yeah, it looks like it's about nice. Three stories.
But it's not.
Yeah, but not $15 million. Obviously, you're paying for the view, right?
Somebody's little boat.
The locale. Yeah, a little boat there.
Well, that's interesting.
Timmy, you going to move?
No. No. Australia is locked down.
Oh, that's true.
You have to
that's
be vaccinated.
True.
It's becoming 1939,
Nazi Germany.
I'm going to say Hitler Germany. I'm not going to say Germany. Nazi because Nazi's a bad word.
But that's an awesome view, man. Like, imagine right there, man, right in the little beach.
Yeah,
there.
Right on the water. It's basically beach front, I guess you'd say. Not much of a beach.
You can
beach,
watch the shark swim up right to your front porch and try to eat you.
Drama.
What you is know, that
so
called?
If that little one's. What do you mean?
A pool?
It's not a beach, but it has sand.
Yeah, it's a
riverfront property.
Pretty sure that's a beach.
Yeah it's a
river.
Beach.
Like a
it looks more like a river. Yeah, see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Riverfront property.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't think they actually.
I mean,
gave
Australia is
like
pretty much, you know, surrounded by Pacific on all four sides.
Yeah, you know what?
It's an island.
15 million.
I know, but I don't think it's Pacific on all four sides. It's Pacific. I don't think it's Pacific on all four sides.
Indian.
Oh, I was like, you're in the wrong ocean there,
babe. Oh, dear Lord.
Well, right. Indian Ocean, Pacific. It's all, it's like they cross streams. They all scissor each other.
Oh, dear God.
I'm telling you.
All right, last story. Oh. Last story. Go ahead and pull up there's a video on this one, Saul. So go ahead and pull this one up. A tractor trailer was captured on video dragging a sedan on an Illinois freeway earlier this week.
Oh my God.
A driver in a neighboring lane recorded the harrowing experience, which happened Tuesday on Interstate 294 northbound just outside of Chicago at 11:40 a.m. So yeah, guys, just take a look at this, right? So this guy drives up.
You know damn well that truck driver saw that car.
Oh, my God.
How do you not see that car, dude?
Okay. So,
did the guy die driving the car?
So, hold on, let me finish. Illinois State Police said that the driver of the black 2005 Honda Accord was changing lanes when the car somehow got stuck underneath the passenger side of a red 2014 Freightline trailer. The semi-trailer dragged the Honda Accord before eventually coming to a stop. Video footage shows the semi-trailer appearing to keep up speed with others driving nearby, right? So he didn't realize that this happened, so he's just cruising along for a while. And even though he was being bogged down by the sedan, but towards the end of the clip,
he's
you can
lagging.
Actually see someone waving. Okay, it's up to you, right? You can see someone waving from the driver's seat of the sedan.
Yeah,
so if you watch the end
that.
Of the video, you see like a little hand waving out the window. So police identified the drivers. You guys don't care about that. No injuries were reported. State police did not provide any further information regarding possible charges. So.
How did he accidentally fucking get stuck under a semi? And how does this? Well, there's the answer. Never mind. You answered my question. She's women fucking drivers.
So the semi truck driver was 52 years old, and the Honda Accord driver was a 19-year-old girl. So she obviously was. Hold new on. To this game
and doing but something she shouldn't have been doing.
Probably on her phone, not paying attention, tried changing lanes and got stuck underneath.
But
the
if I'm stuck underneath a trailer like that, you better believe I'm gonna be honking all I can. Maybe her horn wasn't working, but I'm gonna be like, get me the fuck out of here. That is crazy.
Yeah
you so gotta see this.
And the weird part is there's actually video of it. That's the
yeah, people are just recording. I like how people get out their phones and they're like,
I don't get that. Like when I'm driving, I have better things to do. And you know what that is? Focus on fucking driving.
Yeah, you know, and you figure that guy that's pulling up next to the car, that
black Honda could break loose from out from underneath that car at underneath that trailer at any time, and it'll fling across those lanes of traffic and wipe him out. So it was kind of dangerous, but I don't know if he pulled up in front and waved the tractor trailer guy down or what, but yeah. Dude. All right. So those are my stories.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Thank you for the J Files.
Very good articles.
Thanks, Tim. Are you doing that to be an asshole?
I would never do that.
Oh, okay.
I was very engaged.
Yeah, I saw you staring at your computer.
Well, because there was breaking news.
Oh, okay. Well, it's breaking news. What's breaking?
Fucking federal appeals court overturned the fucking vaccine testing and mandates for the companies of 100 employees or more.
They overturned it?
So the appeals court reinstated the fucking Biden administration's mandate. They're trying to give this guy fucking wins.
Huh. Okay.
Swear to fucking Christ, we live in a banana republic.
Here's what I say is I hope that shit comes, because honestly, I'm to the point where like, yeah, let's bring it. Bring on the revolution. Bring it. Fucking bring it. Let's do it already. Stop daddling with this shit. People want look, because you know what? And this leads into what we're going to talk about, what the future of technology is leading to. We're going to talk about the metaverse. And all this is, you know, related to what we've talked about before, you know, with cryptocurrency, Neuralink, the future of AI, augmented reality. And, you know, one of the companies that's leading this effort to a virtual world is Facebook and Lizard Boy. And
Lizard Boy.
I don't know if you guys have. I'm ready for this weekend. This week coming up is going to be the Matrix is getting the what is it? Matrix. Is it not Revolution? Matrix Resurrected, I think.
Reboot. Yeah, whatever the fuck it is. Nobody cares.
I definitely do care. I'm going to go watch it. I'm ready for it. I was a big fan of the movie 20 years ago. I'm telling you, man, I watched that movie so many times. And even every now and then, I'll watch it again just because it's such a great movie.
I was a fan of the first one, but yeah. The second and third ones? Nope.
How many times would you say you watched it, Tim?
The first one?
Yeah.
Oh, I watched. Fuck. Every time it's on, I watch the first one.
Was it like a reoccurring thing on cable or something?
Yeah,
or?
I also had bootleg cable, so I always had the pay-per-view, so I watched it every time it was on growing up.
Take the blue pill.
Blah, blah, blah. Take the red pill. And come with me on this journey.
Well, see, okay, so the reason I think that movie at the time that it came out was such a hit, because I went to watch that movie every single time somebody hadn't seen it at the theaters. We got to go. Let's go. So I probably went to the theaters 4 or 5 times to watch it. And every single time I was like, because it was different. And the film, how they made the effects, all that was so new and it was so freaking awesome. And there were so many parodies that came after that. You know, cartoons and everything, you know, it was that kick. Remember that kick by Trinity? It's freaking awesome. I love that. Anyway, so, but let's talk about the metaverse. And so what is it? And so what I wanted to do is basically show a little bit of the Facebook introduction on what the metaverse is and how they're going to implement it. I might play 10 minutes of this and I'll stop it every now and then just to talk about how what this is going to look like, because they're investing millions, possibly billions of dollars into this technology. And what it's foreshadowing a dystopian future, folks, because the present generation is we've seen it. I mean, the last video that you shared, Jeremy, is evident on how people are addicted to their electronics. They can't put their fucking phone down. From the person who got stuck in the, you know, underneath that semi to the person recording. And we all ask ourselves, like, what is happening to society that eyes are glued to the phone? And before I start showing the video, you know, you ask yourself, okay, well, how is it happening, right? We talk about the TikTok algorithm and how I can be on TikTok for an hour and a half, dude. And TikTok will tell me, hey, you've been on here for a while. might want to let your eyes rest. You might want to take a break.
Really?
Yeah,
TikTok
yeah.
TikTok does that?
It does that. But okay, so one, people think, oh, well, that's a good idea. That's good. You know, it's helping people. But then I'm like, how do you know, TikTok? Why are you fucking tracking me, TikTok? Why are you trying to? Because and another thing that they do is, see, they put you in groups so that you get fed what you like to watch, what you like to interact with, what you like to do. So these algorithms are designed in a way to get you addicted to the app. And then there's also behind all that, any app, you know, people like to think, oh, well, you know, I'm not on TikTok. I'm only on Facebook. All these apps, if you're on your phone more than an hour a day on some social media platform somewhere, this phone is mining your data, folks. They are gathering this information. They're trying to find your routines, your habits. Some of you might not even know it, but if you have a Google phone or an Apple phone, go and find the timeline on the map application. And if you haven't turned it off, it's tracking everywhere you've been.
So we talked about this, I think, last year or 2 years ago. It's all fucking gobbledygook.
Yeah.
But even so, CNN actually did a whole story about this, and they actually did journalism, which was weird, and reporting, where the guy had his phone. He turned off. He put it on airplane mode. So he did two things. He put it on airplane mode, went all around Washington, D.C., right? And then he also turned his phone off, did the same route. When he turned it back on, the GPS was still tracking.
Oh, yeah.
And when he, because the GPS is a separate chip from the operating system. So your phone is always tracking you. Even if you turn it off on the maps, the GPS, if they get your phone, they can crack. All your coordinates are in there. And what they did was, with the phone that was turned off, it actually transmitted more data than the phone that was on airplane mode up to fucking Google. So that when they were searching and when they're on Facebook, all of a sudden, like, hey, do you want tickets for the Smithsonian? Do you want to go see the Lincoln Memorial? Like, they were getting all this crap for advertisements when their phone was off. Like, you know, when they turned it back on, like, they were starting to get those targeted advertisements on Facebook
for where they had been with the phone.
Yeah.
And so
tracking, you know, devices.
But it's coming. And the future generations, folks, they're in opening arms to this technology. They just are. And my message to, I saw this movie recently. I forgot what it was called. And there was a scene in the movie where, do you guys remember when, you know, those phones that you used to get have in your house, the what are those, rotary, the, where you dial?
Yeah, the rotary.
Yeah, the rotary phone.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, you dialed the operator and said, hey, connect me to so-and-so or whatever, you know, this before you could dial.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it was this type of movie, and it was like a teenager. He's like calling whoever, and the mom is like angry at him and is like, get off the phone. You're addicted to that thing. Right. And it seems like the previous generation is always, you know, trying to warn and saying, hey, you know what, you know, but it's coming, folks. No matter how much we try to warn people of this, the next iteration of technology, it's going to be here. Because if you think about it, imagine your life without technology, folks. And you think, well, I'm not addicted to that stuff. No, no, no. You are. You're addicted to your phone, to your television, to electricity. You're addicted to these things, folks. You're addicted to your car. This is technology that has allowed us, it has given us some freedom. It has allowed us to be able to explore, to travel, to expand our knowledge. But at the same time, there's certain things that are coming with it that we have to start asking the questions. And one of those questions is, well, what is this going to look like? What is the future going to look like? And Facebook, and I'm going to start the video here, but Facebook, again, they're pioneers in this whole thing. I mean, it's not just them, right? Google, everybody's moving towards this. And what is this metaverse that I'm talking about? So let's dive into it. I'm going to show you the video. I'll probably do about 10 minutes of it and pause it every now and then to do some commentary on it. I think in the first 10 minutes, they kind of explain, he explains pretty good what it is. So
yeah, but before you start that, yeah. I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
So obviously Facebook is a big player in this. And you mentioned that Google, are they going to intertwine these metaverses, or is it going to be strictly you log into a Facebook?
It's like the cloud. Yes, see, use different cloud providers.
They're already intertwined.
He's going to explain it here, but and that's a common misconception, is the metaverse is not necessarily a place. It's very different places depending on what you want to use it for, right? Whether it's for work, whether it's for personal, whether it's for however you want. And he explains that. And like I said, I'm going to pause it every now and then to make commentary. All
right. Yeah.
But
it's creepy shit.
This shit is coming, man. And here, before I started, I'm going to preface it with this. Think about what happened in the last year, folks. Some of us think, oh, maybe this was part of to rig the elections. But then as he's starting to talk about these things, you realize, wait a minute, that was very convenient for COVID to happen so that people could get accustomed to this idea of a virtual world. Okay, so watch it with that in mind.
What are you gonna say, Heidi?
Yeah, but before are you telling me that none of you guys have had a conversation or have Googled something, and then all of a sudden in your social media it starts giving you ads for that?
No.
Like it happens. So, my mom is having this problem because my mom's like, "Well, Heidi, you and I were talking about such and such, and now I'm getting what?" Yeah. She asked me. She goes, "What did you do?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, now on my Facebook, I'm getting ads for what we talked about. We talked about it, yeah. And then she like, and then there was something like." Oh, Samantha. Samantha was Googling underwear, men's underwear, because her and a coworker were joking about it. And now she's getting ads in her Facebook for men's underwear. She's like, what the? So this is already happening. I mean, you would think recognize this.
So they've been conditioning people with Facebook and targeting apps. Because people go like, when people were freaking out about it, like, is my Alexa actually listening to me? Yes, bitch. Alexa's listening to everything you say. So, and every time you fucking...
thing. Your phone too.
Your phone, Alexa, anything, your TVs, all this smart technology, quote unquote, that we all love. Oh, yeah. Bet your ass. It's doing other things that we don't realize in the background, but we say that would never happen. No, it's happening.
It was explained like, well, it has to be listening to you because how will it know when you're talking to it if it's not listening to you?
Think about this.
That was the excuse that's been given this has been going on for at least 5 years. Right, when did the Echo Dot come out and the Alexa come out?
They don't hide it. They say that it's doing it. Yeah. Think about this. How many times have we been in fucking Santisi's bullshit and you're like, Google it. And I started typing and I'm like, bro, as soon as I said like the first two letters and it was like the whole thing came out, I was like.
Yeah, because
I
heard what you were talking about.
And I'm like, I look at Nelda, I'm like, and he's like, yeah, bro. I'm like, yeah, this is not good.
Yeah.
Well,
he's like, no, bro, it's okay. It's Google. This is technology. I'm like,
well, look, again, look, we can be the legacy parents, like I saw in that movie.
Yes.
Who were like, no. But yet here we are. We have adapted to this. And I think we can either be left behind and not know how to navigate ourselves through this technology, like our grandparents looking at a phone, not knowing how to dial. Okay, or not knowing how to go to an app, or we can learn this and fucking how do we harness it? How do we what can we do? Right? I don't know. I've heard right exactly. Is it Skynet? Are we what is it? John Connor, and we have to destroy this ship before. But it's inevitable. It's coming.
You're giving Mark Zuckerberg complete control of everything. Your whole reality is now controlled. You see, this is what people aren't realizing. And we're going to play the video. But this is where I was talking about this transhumanism thing that everybody's not paying attention to. And it's funny that we're talking about this because it all leads into this. This technology, people are willingly putting these Oculus goggles on and letting Mark Zuckerberg control your reality. Let that sink in. The guy that runs Facebook that controlled your entire social life for the last 10 years and have ruined 15 and has blatantly ruined relationships because it's turned into this political dog shit. No. Yeah. But it's turned into this evil platform of it went from connecting with friends to baby pictures to food pictures to memes. And I hate Trump. I hate this. You're a Nazi. You're a fucking pedo. It's ruined your life over the time.
It hasn't ruined mine because I got out of it about 4 years ago.
Right. But again, did not. And I have a few other friends that have not, bent the knee to Mark Zuckerberg, right? So you've been able to avoid this. But now, if all our jobs say, hey, you gotta go into the metaverse for these work meetings,
right?
You're being forced into this world that they control now.
Yeah,
Watch this video, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, and they're all gonna do it. All of them are gonna do it. And what's paved the way is COVID. The it's COVID, right? COVID was a catalyst for this shit to expedite it.
Zoom?
Mm-hmm.
Zoom meetings? Teams meetings?
You'll see
now Zoom. Think about it. What was the biggest complaint in the beginning with Teams and Zoom. The background's so boring, and then all of a sudden, everybody's putting these different backgrounds to make it look like, oh, I'm on the beach, I'm this. So those backgrounds, that's the beginning of a metaverse.
The biggest complaint I remember hearing about video conferencing, these remote conferences, the women hated being on video. They hated it. They didn't like the way they looked. They didn't want to put on their makeup. They didn't want to do all this, right? And I remember however many months back, our manager is actually like, every Thursday, we have a team meeting every day, right? Every Thursday, we are going to do video. So everybody, you will be joining on video every Thursday. And so every Thursday, we all show up in our video, and you can just tell some of the women are just like, men don't care.
Right, but now, when they give you these goggles and say, hey, every Thursday, we're going to do our team meeting in the metaverse because we're all stuck working from home.
I don't think they would do that. There's too much, like you said, there's too much security. No.
And we all said they would never fucking mandate vaccines. All said they could never mandate vaccines and have max passports and everything else.
Why would a company do, why would they force everybody to join a metaverse to make these
Jeremy,
why are they forcing everybody to join a live meeting and show the camera? Yeah. Why is your boss forcing you guys to all be on camera?
Jeremy, look, I know what you're saying, right? But we've talked about this before. Me and you and Tim, we wouldn't impose this. We're old school. There's a new generation of people that are getting the reins of the shit, and they're welcoming this with open arms, and we are legacy. Our ideas are going to be antiquated, and don't pay attention to Jeremy. He's just a grumpy old man. He's never going to adapt. He's that grandparent who doesn't want to get on the iPhone.
I understand that, but the point is, the number one growing sector in IT is security, and this is taking everything completely out of security's hands. They're not going to let you do that.
Yes,
the companies are not going to let you use these public services like that to conduct business.
Yeah,
they'll pay Microsoft or whatever for maybe their own, but they're not going to just say, go out. Wait, do you think, you honestly think that someday your boss is going to come to you and go, okay, log on to this Facebook group because we're going to have a group chat about something?
They'll have it as a business service. Yeah, just like Zoom. Zoom was a personal thing. They turned it. They added it to the business.
Wait,
and
hold on.
Zoom wasn't allowed in any.
I remember when when the iPhone came out, and it was the iPod, on the browser, and a lot of people looked at that and said, "Oh, well, that's not business. Keep the BlackBerry." You remember this? There was a big push by BlackBerry because they said this is not professional. These smartphones, they're not professional. The BlackBerry is for business. I remember this because guess what? I wasn't helped this, and I remembered. You know, where people was like, well, I want to use the iPhone because iPhone's not for, it's not professional. The BlackBerry.
It was voodoo.
It was. And here we are 10 years later.
You were part of that.
And
that was your policies.
Here we are 10, 15 years later. And companies are paying for your smartphone. That's an iPod and a freaking browser and has all these apps.
Right. But they're also using those devices for security reasons, multi-factor authentication,
but
secure email, all that kind of stuff.
But it's here. We all said it would never.
Here. So
we all said that Apple iPhones would never take over from the BlackBerry because the BlackBerry integrated with the Bez, integrated with Exchange,
right,
and it was fluid and it was secure.
For security reasons, they don't allow you to use your personal cell phone. You have to either get a company phone, or you have to install security software, for lack of a better word, that creates its own partition that contains the company data.
That was recently.
And do you think that's going to change?
I mean, with this, if they go, well, there's a company, you know, like Zoom wasn't allowed because it was personal, but once they made it business and you were able to secure it, well, if you say, hey, with the metaverse, here is XYZ company
secure
tenant for the metaverse.
Let's say they do that. They create a security tenant for the metaverse. Then is there a problem doing that?
Look,
if
Jeremy,
Zuckerberg's not getting
I'm going to put it simply here. Brick and mortar shops like Walmart and everything, they scoffed at Amazon because they said, what business is going to, what professional is going to get on Amazon and order something online? People don't do that. People are not going to do that. Here we are This is exactly what people are doing. And Amazon is fucking humongous because
it's the first place I shop. People, I don't have to go to the store and deal with assholes.
Adapted. And so this is coming, Jeremy. I promise you. Like, okay, so let's play this video because we kind of, and some of this, fortunately for the listener, there's a lot of visual stuff here. We'll try to explain it, but I think they kind of explain what's happening. But I'm going to play about 10 minutes of this and I'll stop it every now and then just to make commentary. And again, this is Mark Zuckerberg introducing the metaverse. And he's coming from his lizard farm.
What is this?
This is his
Mark Zuckerberg
town hall where he introduces the metaverse.
Hey, and welcome to Connect. Today, we're going to talk about the metaverse. I want to share what we imagine is possible. The experiences you'll have, the creative economy we'll all build, and the technology that needs to be invented, as well as how we're going to all do this together. The basic story of technology in our lifetimes is how it's given us the power to express ourselves and experience the world with ever greater richness. Back when I started Facebook, that mostly meant text that we typed on computers. Then we all got phones with cameras, and the internet became much more visual. And recently, as connections got faster, video has become the main way that we experience content. We've gone from desktop to web to phones, from text to photos to video, but this isn't the end of the line. The next platform and medium will be even more immersive, an embodied internet where you're in the experience, not just looking at it. And we call this the metaverse. And you're going to be able to do almost anything you can imagine. Get together with friends and family, work, learn, play, shop, create, as well as entirely new categories that don't really fit how we think about computers or phones today. Now, since we're doing this remotely today, I figured let's make this special. So we've put together something that I think is really going to give...
By the way, he just creeps me out. I don't know what it is about this guy, but he's
a
such a creep.
For what
the guy's
future.
A loser.
He's so weird.
The guy's a fucking loser. He created Facebook because he had no friends.
Metaverse will be the successor to the mobile internet. We'll be able to feel present, like we're right there with people, no matter how far apart we actually are. We'll be able to express ourselves in new, joyful, completely immersive ways.
What? Hold on. Okay, let me pause. I'm going to do commentary here while we watch this. But, you know, obviously it's a sales pitch, right? He's trying to paint, but if everything's online and if our lives are online, it's not all just going to be joyful and stuff. There's going to be a lot of drama and a lot of shit that's going to be happening online as well. So let's just put that out there.
And that's going to unlock a lot of amazing new experiences. When I send my parents a video of my kids, they're going to feel like they're right in the moment with us, not peering through a little window. When you play a game with your friends, you'll feel like you're right there together in a different world, not just on your computer by yourself. And when you're in a meeting in the metaverse, it'll feel like you're right in the room together, making eye contact, having a shared sense of space, and not just looking at a grid of faces on a screen. That's what we mean by an embodied internet. Instead of looking at a screen, you're going to be in these experiences.
There you go.
Everything we do online today, connecting socially, entertainment, games, work, is going to be more natural and vivid. This isn't about spending...
Wait, hold on. So, this is the thing. Okay. Again, it's a sales pitch, folks. But at the same time, is it going to be natural? Look, I'm going to put this out there because I'm on the online dating world. You know, the Tinder's, the... whatever name
grinder
name grinder I'm on all of them and
oh god
and listen to this though, hold on. One complaint that a lot of people have, right, and this is both guys and girls, folks, this is true, this is a reality, and even in social media, the overuse of filters today.
My god.
To your point, Jeremy, about if women getting upset about, you know, having to do their makeup and all stuff, but there is an overuse of filters where people completely change who they are. They can look 20, 15 years younger. And again, this is on a dating. And so when he talks about this is going to be very natural when you can choose an avatar, I don't know how true that is, but I'm going to let it.
Real quick. Have you ever seen the movie Real Player One?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is Real Player One.
Just Player One.
Or whatever the fuck it is. Player One. This is Player One coming to life right now.
Demolition Man has something like this in it too, where she invites him back to her apartment and they're going to have sex, and she gives him the virtual goggles and the headpiece. But I don't know how you guys can say this is, Jeremy saying like, this can't happen, this won't happen, whatever.
And
the reality is, or Saul, your statement that this, you know, like it's not going to be real. I disagree. Look at the overpopulation of kids and people playing video games today. Or like, first of all, the girls, we watched a sleepover happen with eight young ladies, and all eight of them are on their phones playing a virtual game together. And they're sitting on the couch side by side, touching each other, and they're giggling and they're talking through their phones while they're playing their game.
I'm not saying
set up this virtual world.
So I'm not saying that the emotions won't be real. What I'm talking about is, specifically to what he said, is natural. And to me, it's like, because he's going to talk about how this is going to look, right? Maybe what you're talking about is more of an augmented reality. But this is the metaverse is where you're completely immersed, basically a virtual reality type of thing. So,
but that's what I'm saying. They're prepping these kids now. If they're learning this now,
I agree.
For this generation that we're raising in the next generation, it will be perfectly natural. Yeah. Not to all of us, old school.
They're grooming them for this.
Exactly. Yeah. They're being groomed. And to your point, Heidi, I don't think the future generation is going to care. Because emotions over everything. How does this make me feel?
It'll be very natural for
what
them.
Is kill me now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill me now. I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, I don't either. But what happens when you have all these people? I mean, if you think about it, right, you could put people into, I guess the modern day equivalent would be a sensory deprivation chamber, right? You'd put them, you could stack these chambers up.
Yeah.
Hundreds in a row, and just have these stupid kids living in these containers, and they're getting all of their sensory from this metaverse. What's going to happen to that generation?
You ever see Idiocracy?
They're not going to touch each. No. They're not going to touch each other. Yeah. They're not going to have kids.
Player One.
Everybody who falls into this is going to die off.
Yeah, that's
and
their
they're not
going to
reproduce.
This is the Great Reset. I don't give a fuck. It's not conspiracy. They've all said how they want to do it. They want 20% of the fucking population only to exist. And all this shit is to do this.
Do you remember?
This is all part of the plan.
Do you remember what was it? Gladiator. What's his name? The guy who killed his father. One of the things that he said in the movie was, I'm going to make games, Gladiator games, so that the people will be entertained. They'll be so busy with this entertainment that they won't know about how I'm ruling and how they're going to be, oppressed. And that's what this is. Like Tim says, this is grooming. This is preparing them for what's coming, for a totalitarian state. Because once you have people locked in and entertained, they're not going to fight. They just won't. And so this has been years in the making, and here we are with Lizard Boy. I'm going to continue playing him. Explain to us what's happening. But this is happening. This is going to come. This is 10 years away, if that.
And remember.
It's already on the doorstep.
And remember, about 4, maybe 5 years ago, but in the last 5, 6 years, there was a company called Oculus, right, that was doing VR. Zuckerberg bought Oculus to integrate it all, and now this is the final project
or the beginning of it. So here we go.
Well, this isn't about
spending more time on screens. It's about making the time that we already spend better. Screens just can't convey the full range of human expression and connection. They can't deliver that deep feeling of presence. But the next
this is what I'm confused about, because he just said that this is not about spending more time on the screen, but that's exactly what this is. You're spending more time.
No, you're in a reality. You're in a reality
a
world. So you're with them.
Screen presented. How
there you go.
How are they going to present it to you unless you plug into a fucking thing? Now it's on a screen. It's an image created. Like,
well, they probably will. They'll have neural implants, yeah, whatever. You get a little circuit board put in your brain, yep, and everything that you feel, hear, see will be beamed directly to your brain. You won't even need eyeballs anymore.
They're doing that now for the deaf. They put the colloquial.
You're going to see a bunch of dumb motherfuckers with these Oculus glasses, like walking around, like, ah!
No, they're not going to be walking around. They're going to be stuck in a tube somewhere.
Well, first, it'll be walking around the house and walking into walls.
I've already seen those videos. People hitting themselves.
It'll be freaking Wall-E.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they have the VR videos where people put them on for the first time, or they put them on their grandmother or their mother for the first time, and they're sitting in a chair, and then all of a sudden they fall out of the chair because it's so real on their faces.
I remember hearing a story. One of the first movies, right? Motion picture, whatever, black and white, old school, right? One of the first movies they ever made was a train coming into the station, right? So they had the camera on the track as they bring all these people into the movie theater and they show this movie of this train coming in. It caused mass hysteria in the theater. Everybody got up, trampled each other, trying to get to the exit of the theater because they were afraid the train was going to run them over.
They're really intelligent.
Well, we know that
it's
now.
Naive.
Right.
What? I know.
This is next.
Well, it's fun to make fun of people that don't know shit, like us. We don't know shit about the metaverse.
I don't want to.
Imagine me in the metaverse. No. I would be. But here's the deal. So, real quick, part of this metaverse is also all this. This is also how they get to introduce your social credit score. Mm-hmm. Because as you're in the metaverse, you will obtain a certain number, right, to keep growing. Like, oh, you did this in the metaverse, you're worth this number now. So your social credit score will be tied to your alternate reality.
I guess I won't have a credit score then.
You won't be able to be part of society. This is, see,
I don't want to be a part of that society.
This is what society is.
How long is it going to take them to do this?
By 2030.
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be 10 years.
I think it's coming sooner than that. Thinking it's 2030. No,
2030 is the end date for all this.
I know, but we're already there. The technology's here.
First, they got to overthrow all the governments, which we're seeing, right? You're seeing all the governments fall to this COVID tyranny, right? We're the last country. Remember that. This is the last country that needs to fall. I know this is getting into political, but if the United States falls to this authoritarianism, right, that we're seeing with Biden and this regime, if we fall, there's no beacon of hope anymore. There's no beacon of freedom. The beacon of freedom is now owned by Mark Zuckerberg and Google. What do you do when the government says, hey, there's no more constitution, it's out the door. We take all the guns. This is the new rules. You have no choice. It's either you fight and die at that point with no weapon, or you wind up falling victim to this fucking world. We're almost too far gone, guys. Yeah. We're in the bottom of the eighth inning. Okay? To give it to baseball. We're in the bottom of the eighth.
You mean the ninth?
We're in the bottom of the eighth because we're going into the ninth because you're starting to see the pieces. The bottom of the ninth is when New York, California completely fall, which they're almost. Then the rest of the coast, which is almost there. When they start saying, hey, we're going to cut the supply off of food and everything else because we own the coasts. That's why they want to take Florida and Texas.
Look, I'm
crazy, but this is the truth.
To that point, you know, like I said, the younger generation is accepting this with open arms. They are. Yeah. They just are. They don't care, folks. They don't even want to think about it. You've heard him say it. And I don't know who said this. One of the founding fathers said, but it's so true. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation is the philosophy of government in the next. And the mistake that conservatives did and a lot of Americans made was that we ceded that to the leftists, to the socialists, to the Marxists. And here we are. We're going to pay the repercussions of this. And it all sounds nice and good. I mean, look at the scenery in this. This is professionally made, this video, man. And anybody who watches this is like, oh,
not
yeah,
even his house.
It's beautiful. This is coming. This is not even the worst of it. Yeah, go ahead.
So not to divert from what we're talking about, but if you scroll back, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's a bottle of barbecue sauce sitting on the bookshelf.
He's in the metaverse. This is, dude, this
right
is
there.
How
there, go back there. Look in the corner.
Yeah.
right over his left shoulder.
Yeah, I saw it.
There's a bottle of fucking barbecue sauce holding books up.
But,
I'm like,
but now look at this.
What?
But look at this. Look how real this looks. You wouldn't even know he was. This was metaverse.
I think this is real. No, I think this is real. This is real. He's going to get in right now into the metaverse, and you'll see what that looks like. But this is a concept. He's going to talk about how some of this technology doesn't exist. They're preparing for it. You know, with everything that's coming, right? Because it's coming. The way that the technology is, evolving exponentially, this is around the corner, folks. So let me continue playing this and we'll...
But the next version of the internet can. That's what we should be working towards. Technology that's built around people and how we actually experience the world and interact with each other. That's what the metaverse is all about. Now, the best way to understand the metaverse is to experience it yourself. But it's a little tough because it doesn't fully exist yet. Some of the basic building blocks are here, though. And others are starting to emerge as we speak. We're starting to get a sense of how it could all come together and what it could feel like. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. Rather than just focusing on this year's products like a normal keynote, we're going to talk about the future. So let's start by exploring what different kinds of metaverse experiences could feel like, starting with the most important experience of all, connecting with people.
He's going to turn into a lizard. There it is.
Imagine you put on your glasses or headset.
This is the metaverse.
Instantly in your home space. It has parts of your physical home recreated virtually. It has things that are only possible virtually. And it has an incredibly inspiring view of whatever you find most beautiful.
Hey, are you coming?
Yeah, just got to find something to wear. All right, perfect.
Why did he choose a lizard outfit, by the way?
Oh, hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Mark. Hi,
Mark. What's up, Mark?
Whoa, we're floating in space?
Uh-huh.
Who made this place? It's awesome.
Right? It's from a crater I met in L.A.
This place is amazing.
Boz, is that you?
Of course it's me. You know I had to be the robot, man.
I thought I was supposed to be the robot.
Whoa. I knew you were bluffing.
Hey, wait. Where is Naomi?
Let's call her.
Naomi.
Hey, should we deal you in?
Hey. Sorry, I'm running late, but you gotta see what we're checking out. There's an artist going around Soho hiding AR pieces for people to find.
AR, augmented reality. So this is very different than the virtual reality that they're in, right? So augmented reality is a virtual world superimposed on the real world, right? So you could be walking around and, you know, and see something that is virtually, I think you guys have seen this, right? I think some phones have this capability. But here we go. Watch this.
3D street art? That's cool.
Send that link over so we can all look at it. This is stunning.
Okay, that is something.
It's awesome.
And again, these ideas are being built in the brains of the woke culture folks. And I'm sorry for the listener, you can't see this art that they're admiring, but honestly, it looks like freaking, what is that, junk art?
Doodles. Doodles.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking like something. Monster. It looks like something a fucking, my 2-year-old niece would fucking do with a finger because she's just,
if this takes a hold, you know, I mean, imagine, okay, I know that what they're showing here is garbage. This is shit. But imagine real art, something really actually pretty dope, created in a place like this where you can experience it as if you were there, right? So they're saying certain things that are, to me, they sound appealing, right? Yes, we have to think about everything, the underlying narrative here and the underlying intentions that are happening, right? But at the same time, this is freaking awesome. This is pretty dope. If used properly, right?
That's awesome.
Wow. Oh, I love the movement.
Wait, it's disappearing.
This is amazing.
Hold on. I'll tip the artist and they'll extend it.
Wow. Brilliant.
If you guys like it here, I have another room that you're going to love. Check out this forest room.
Huh, let's see it.
Koi fish that fly? That's new.
This is wild. Hey, one sec, Boz. It's Priscilla.
Hey, you have to see this. Beast is going crazy.
Oh, I love that guy. We've got to show that to the kids. Can you also send that to my
dad?
That
is communist life.
I'll message him.
All right, see you at home. Yeah. This place is great, Boz, but there's something I got to get back to. All right, so that's a glimpse of a few ways that we're going to be able to get together and socialize in the metaverse. It's a ways off, but you can start to see some of the fundamental building blocks take shape. First, the feeling of presence. This is the defining quality of the metaverse. You're going to really feel like you're there with other people. You'll see their facial expressions, you'll see their body language, maybe figure out if they're actually holding a winning hand. All the subtle ways that we communicate that today's technology can't quite deliver. Next, there are avatars, and that's how we're going to represent ourselves in the metaverse. Avatars will be as common as profile pictures today, but instead of a static image, they're going to be living 3D representations of you. Your expressions, your gestures, that are going to make interactions much richer.
Stop.
There you go.
Stop. Image. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many avatars do you think are going to be anywhere near what the person actually looks like?
Okay, to my
that
point.
That is a bunch of bullshit.
On the whole Tinder filter stuff. That and this is
bullshit.
Not, won't be natural. Because you know people are not going to really represent what they look like. Because they don't do it now with real pictures.
So number player one, like when the guy fell in love with that girl and it, like she really didn't look like that or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, like he fell in love with the one girl and, oh, no, no.
One of the catfished.
No. The girl was actually,
it was Free Guy.
Something was like, yeah. And you looked at it, it's like, what the fuck is this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, they got like catfished on there, bro.
Yeah. Okay.
This is some scary
shit.
There's
a lot. Yeah. He's trying to convince people that they can only get together and interact with each other in this world. It's like, no, go to the bar, go to a baseball game with your friends. Yeah, what
you can't because you'll
problem?
Get COVID.
Yeah, what happens when COVID shuts down the bars and they tell you, hey, 15 days to slow the spread.
COVID's not going
to
shut down bars. Control freak assholes are going
to
shut down bars.
No, it's actually starting to shut down all over the country again. Like football games are being postponed because of COVID. New York City shutting down plays and fucking all this shit. So things are shutting down. We're in the second phase of lockdowns, but now it's run by all fucking Democrats, bro. So this is going to be worse than 2020. Mark my words. 2022's got a hell of a year.
Mark Zuckerberg has words. All right. So I'm going to maybe another 4 minutes of this because he's going to introduce avatars. And again, you know, like to your point, Jeremy, really, really. This is fake. It's AstroTurf.
Yeah. It's catfishing on a whole nother level.
Yep.
This is what they should give prisoners. Put them in hell. Create a fucking hell for fucking pedophiles. You know what I'm saying? Where it's literally fucking Satan fucking attacking them all day and they can't take the glasses off for fucking 20 hours of the day. Yeah. That should be the fucking penalty for fucking people.
They'll have to wear some Swedish leather suit that's going to rape them anally every day. And they have to see it. Sorry. All right, we'll question.
With the pineapple.
No, they're all going to be let off because pedophilia will no longer be a...
Actually, you're right. Pedophilia is actually legal.
They'll create a metaverse where that's legal and just go do whatever you want.
Bro,
what
listen,
does it matter?
I'm telling you, this is
coming. It's coming. We're not ready for that. What that shit presents.
So when your little 12-year-old is on, not yours, but just when somebody's 12-year-old, they put these glasses on, right? And they run into some fucking avatar that they think is a fucking kid because you're not seeing who they are.
They don't even need to do that. If you get off raping little boys and they create a metaverse full of little boys that aren't actual like real life or not connected to an actual person, they're just, you know, artificial intelligent little boys that you can go in and rape. See, is that a crime?
Well, yeah, look, now you start talking about virtual crimes. And now, will there be a virtual punishment?
But is it a crime? You're not hurting anybody.
No, but
your social credit score.
Exactly, social credits. Now, look at this. To your point, Jeremy, creeps are going to be able to act out their fucking sadistic fantasies. This is coming. Now, the question is going to be, and we're going to have to face this, should there be a punishment for having ugly thoughts? And then if so, who deems those thoughts as being ugly? Is this a Minority Report Zuckerberg type of thing? You know, where, you know, and just because you think of the thought, is that a crime or is the actual act a crime? These are things that are coming that people are not prepared to answer.
So what they, you know, so if you listen to what all these fucking people say, they all say I'm pro-democracy. True democracy is mob rule.
Yeah.
Guilty until proven innocent in their world, right? Because they go, everything is a threat to democracy. Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, all the judges are a threat to democracy because mob rule says you can kill babies, you can rape children. What the systems we have say you're innocent until proven guilty, or that is pro-life. That is a life.
Well, let me ask you,
guys. Minority, in their mind, a minority can make decisions because they were elected in our republic.
Let me ask you guys this. The Minority Report question, right? I'm talking about the Tom Cruise movie, right? Did you guys remember that
movie? Good movie, too.
Minority Report?
Good movie.
So here's the question, right? And let's pretend this world is here now. We're living it today. And you're in that metaverse, Jeremy, for whatever reason. You have to go to a meeting and you see some freaking weirdo doing exactly what you just described, fucking raping a child in this metaverse. Now, what is our position? Do we hold them virtually accountable for that crime, or do we hold them actually physically accountable and bring him into a real court and judge him based on thought? Because it was a thought.
Well, let's do this. As you get more and more linked and how they want to start putting chips in people, right? Because this is a thing, you know, if you look all over Europe, they're starting to put chips in them for vaccines, you know, to show their vaccination statuses and everything. Yeah, look it up. It's real. They're putting chips inside of them. So now if you get sucked into the metaverse and you have a chip inside, let's say you commit an illegal act in the metaverse and they deem that your penalty is death. Or let's say Jeremy sees that he kills him. You die in reality because your chip is synced to your avatar? If you die in the metaverse, could it kill you in real life?
Let's take it to the question that I asked. What do you guys think? Should that person be punished based on something that obviously we, you know, this is criminal?
You kill him in the metaverse and then you put him on trial. Because obviously you had those thoughts.
Really? But I don't think so. I think you're a weirdo and you're fucking weird. No. It's a virtual world. There's nothing real. It's not real.
I slit your fucking throat.
What do you think, Jeremy?
If that's the case, in reality, you can't do that in real life. In that world, I can. So I will kill you in that world.
Look, I don't disagree with you, Jeremy. I mean, Tim, it's morally wrong and it's disgusting and you should be shunned by society.
I will kill you. I will kill you in the metaverse if I'm stuck in there.
Punished. In the real world, because of it.
So my original point wasn't about the communal metaverse. I'm talking about there are pedophiles, whatever you want to call them, out there that like to rape young boys. And if they create their own metaverse, does it matter? Because the boys that, or quote unquote boys that they're raping, aren't real. So are they actually harming anybody, right? The intentions of causing harm, it's not an actual intent because there's no physical person being affected by that.
Right.
So should they be killed or shunned now, or
somebody held? Wait, hold on. Stop. Tim's not having a serious discussion.
I am.
Well, I think you're completely wrong. I don't disagree with you, Tim. Those are terrible, ugly. There's no words to describe somebody who thinks that shit. They should be punished, but not death and not in real life. Maybe disable their account or whatever. And I don't know, because this is the thing. What ends up happening is now we're trying to control thought. Now having just an ugly thought is crime. I don't think so.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there are pedophiles out there that go out and look on social media and they see me post a picture of my 2-year-old twins in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. And that pedophile is getting off on that picture. Nobody's being harmed in it, but he's downloading these pictures
of people that are posting innocent video or pictures and videos of their kids, and they're downloading them and they're looking at them on their computer screens, and they're acting out their pedophilia thoughts in their own home. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, kids aren't being harmed by this because these are like innocent. We, you know, we have a cousin who posted a picture of her 2-year-old the other day jumping on a trampoline, and she's in just a diaper and pair of underwear, nothing else. Right. And some pervert out there went and pulled, I'm sure, because it happened.
I thought this was real. Pulls, I was like, oh, shit.
No, the little girl is, it is real. The picture is, the video is real. That's out there on social media, but it's out there on social media. So any pervert could go and find that, pull it off, put it on their computer and use it to masturbate. Okay. That's, and it's, is that wrong? Is that wrong for that person who's going out and
wrong? That person doing that, that's disgusting, but
pretty sure it's
okay. But you don't think that that should be, you don't think that person, you don't think that that person should be punished or
have they
dealt with anything because he's out stalking?
Has he done anything physically? Did he take those pictures himself without the parents? See, this is the thing, and we're maybe getting into area that we probably don't want to get into, but this is where, in my opinion, a parent who does that, you should be smarter, because there's fucking weirdos out there, parents. There are weirdos out there, and you need to be careful with your kids. Okay, but let's bring a topic that we can, maybe we can relate to, okay? Think about this. A metaverse, a room, or a world, think about this, where there's a Joe Biden there, and we go and we, what, act out slapping his face and whatever, right? Because we hate him. And here come the liberals, and they're like, oh, well, that's assault. You're assaulting. It's a fucking virtual world, folks. Do we want to control thoughts?
Yes, that's what they want.
Exactly, but I don't think. See, this is where you to your what you were saying, Tim. This is, I equate that, that to me, that's the same.
Well,
how do you control thought?
Going back to what you just said,
I'm saying, are they trying about it? I can't tell what you're thinking. You're not going to see that thought in the metaverse.
Are they trying to control your thoughts, or are they just trying to take away your ability to act on your thoughts?
Both.
Well,
they are trying to take away the way you think.
We saw,
but they don't care. If you're stuck in your own little bubble and you hate Joe Biden and they don't want you to act on that, then fine, you're in your little bubble, and any action you take is never going to leave your little bubble.
But if you are LinkedIn and they say your bad thoughts are now affecting your reality, you know, hey, you can't get a job because we see what you think in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Right? That, now it affects you. Now this ties in. That's the whole point of the social credit score. Credit score has nothing to do with social media.
Let's not even.
Is how it all ties in.
Let's not even talk about that it affects you. I'm talking about getting punished as if you committed the crime. That's what I'm talking about. Should you be?
If liberals run this,
no. They will. Asking you. I don't care what the fuck liberals do. I'm asking you, Tim.
They're the running.
You if you witness this in a metaverse, do you then ask that that person be punished in real life for something that they acted out in a virtual world?
Well, so going back to your example, right? I'm on my way walking or whatever to a meeting, and somebody, you know, hits a woman over the head and starts raping her in front of me, right? If that person, that woman who was walking to the same meeting as I was or whatever, if she's actually experiencing that through her metaverse interface, then that's something different than if he had just gone over and you know, went into a separate metaverse.
If it was an NPC, you're saying like a
what's an NPC?
Well, like in games, there are characters that are not controlled by another player. They're just non-player characters, I think is what they're called. And so they're just part of the game itself, the programming. It's not necessarily somebody else on their you know, control and controlling that. So I can see it from that standpoint. If it's not another player who is represented there and it's just an NPC, then it's nobody's getting hurt, in my opinion. Is that person sick and wrong for having those? But look, guys, there's video games today where kids are playing, you know, we saw a court case where the guy wanted to, you know, judge a kid because he was playing Call of Duty. And we all laughed at that.
Yeah.
But in Call of Duty, you're killing people.
Isn't that the same thing with like auto
Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Theft Auto is like that, right?
But these games, but again, these games, you get to see, you get to live your thoughts out in those games with no repercussions because you die, you respawn, you do it again, and then if you want to play serious, you can start all over and play serious. But now you're bringing into this. This will now gauge you what your actions are, what actions you do in this metaverse.
Tim, I'm not talking about whatever people are going to do with it. I'm talking about what you would do. Would you be okay with somebody getting punished for playing out a thought on an NPC character in this virtual world? I say no.
No. Because they're doing it now in GTA and Red Dead Redemption and all these other games.
The same thing can be, look, this is ugly. This is an ugly reality.
You can't rape a girl in fucking, but you can't rape a girl in fucking Grand Theft Auto.
You can grab one of them, slap them around and get your money from her up. Yeah, you can.
Actually, you're right. You can do. They added that.
Is it wrong? Look, is it morally wrong? Does it have a psychological effect on people? Yes, I'm not going to deny that. But is it a crime? I don't think so. It's not a real crime.
Well, yeah, if it's not a crime now, then why would it be a crime in the quote-unquote metaverse?
But then that's why I go a little further and I say, well, what about somebody acting out, somebody that anybody can agree that this is completely fucking wrong, raping a child on a video game, an NPC character, but still, it's sick for that person who's doing it, but I still stand on the ground.
This is why this is dangerous.
Yeah.
This is why this is dangerous, because now, what is the... You're controlling that character. It's based on you. You get to do whatever you want. You have free reign to do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Will you be judged based on what you do in this reality in your real life?
Well,
and my answer is whether I agree with it or not. Like, that's why I say I kill you in the metaverse if I see that. Yeah. What happens to you outside of the fucking thing? I'm going to kill you if I see that.
But Tim, even your act. Isn't it your crime then deserves a punishment because you killed somebody without due process? That person, no matter how ugly you think that person is due their day in court.
But you're saving that person because we all say, "Hey, Kyle Rittenhouse in self defense, fucking shot those three kids." But you said kill. Why is he even going to court?
You didn't say stop. He said killed them. No, what I'm saying,
but for me to stop that. A little kid is defenseless, so I'm defending that kid.
You could stop that person without killing them. See, okay, all I'm trying to get...
He could have shot him in the leg and stopped the fucking rioters. We can go on and on and play semantics all day long.
Well, you're talking about and I'm talking about the meta world.
But it's almost going to become one and the same, because if I kill you here and you're saying, well, he's due process... Well, this is metaverse. I can do whatever I want. He's free to rape a kid.
I think your thought process, Tim, is, and this is what they're counting on. They're counting on you having the same reaction as if it were real, because then they can say, well, in your mind, you killed Biden or you assaulted Biden. Therefore, jail, because they're going to equate it. And what are you going to say? And you're like, well, no, well, there's a difference. Well, where's the difference? They're both thoughts.
I won't be partaking in this, so I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, and so one of the things we need to keep in mind is that there are cities in this country where there's utter lawlessness. People are burning down buildings, businesses, destroying things. And there are cities in this town where the minute you get out of line, they smack you back into line.
Right.
And it sounds to me like these metaverses are going to be developed by the former and not the latter.
Right.
And so they're not going to have opinions about what you're doing. They're not going to judge. We don't judge here. We're a judge-free zone. We're a safe space.
Bullshit.
They're not going to judge. You can do whatever you want.
If you wear your MAGA hat metaverse, trust me, they will fucking judge you.
Oh, yeah. If you make fun of a fucking transgender in the metaverse, you'll be canceled. You got to, whatever you do in this world, if you partake in this, will 100% reflect on you in reality. Mark my whether wrong or sideways,
assume that it's going to be the same hypocrisy in the metaverse as there is in the real universe. 100%,
because they will go, "Oh, you wait a minute. You wouldn't have stopped that? You're a bad person." What? you get you didn't step
your account
up.
Suspended for 3 months.
Yeah, or yeah, hey, no, or hey, you're not allowed. We're gonna take your house because we deemed you a bad person. Because now everything is all connected. Your metaverse.
Your metaverse house?
No, your real house. Your real money.
I think it's funny you think that these assholes are going to have houses.
Watch this.
He's in control of your life.
They're going to talk about building a utopian life in this virtual world, homie. How this
it's
is
called communism.
And look at this. This is how they're going to monetize this shit. Because it's all about that as well, right? So let me play a little bit more of this. And you're going to see how... is cha-ching for them, all right?
This is thing that's possible player one online
playing
today.
Out to a team.
You'll probably have a photorealistic avatar for work, a stylized one for hanging out, and maybe even a fantasy one for gaming. You're going to have a wardrobe of virtual clothes for different occasions, designed by different creators and from different apps and experiences. Importantly, you know, you should be able to bring your avatar and digital items across different apps and experiences in the metaverse. Beyond avatars, there is your home space. You're going to be able to design it to look the way you want, maybe put up your own pictures and videos and store your digital goods. You're going to be able to invite people over, play games, and hang out. You'll also even have a home office where you can work. Your home is your personal space from which you can teleport to anywhere you want. Now, speaking of teleporting, there are going to be all kinds of different spaces that people make. Rooms like the ones that we just saw, but also games and whole worlds that you can teleport in and out of whenever you want. Teleporting just around like the metaverse right is going to be like clicking a link on the internet. It's an open standard. In order to unlock the potential of the metaverse, there needs to be interoperability. And that goes beyond just taking your avatar and digital items across different apps and experiences, which we are already building an API to support. You want to know that when you buy something or create something, that your items will be useful in a lot of contexts and you're not going to be locked into one world or platform. You want to know that you own your items, not a platform. And this is going to require not just technical work, like some of the important projects that are going on around crypto and NFTs in the community now. It's also going to take ecosystem building, norm setting, and new forms of governance. And this is something that we're really going to focus on. Privacy and safety need to be built into the metaverse from day one. You'll get to decide when you want to be with other people, when you want to block someone from appearing in your space, or when you want to take a break and teleport to a private bubble to be alone. You're going to be able to bring things from the physical world into the metaverse. Almost any type of media that can be represented digitally, photos, videos, art, music, movies, books, games, you name it. And lots of things that are physical today, like screens, will just be able to be holograms in the future. You won't need a physical TV, it'll just be a $1 hologram from some high school kid halfway across the world. And you'll be able to take your items.
To me, I think that's one of the coolest things about it, right? I put on goggles and instead of having the screens that I have here, I have freaking... of shit that I can.
There's nothing cool about this.
No, there's
nothing cool.
That is a cool feature, dude. Being able to.
There's nothing
what
cool.
What are you talking about?
I think I kind of disagree because I'm hearing this. I see and hear and fully get the concerns, but I think about how I haven't seen my oma and my opa, and I don't even know when I would, and my god brother and his wife and their kids. Like they are in Europe. Some of them in Germany, some in England, and I haven't seen them since I was a kid. And so I could totally go into a virtual room with them and see them. Look, I get the corruption. I get the concern. I get all that stuff too. I'm not saying I'm blind to it, but to your point, Saul, how they're going to suck us in, right?
Then everybody might as well get their vaccine. Follow the mandates and comply.
I'm not saying that's I'm
what
just
this
saying,
is all will be.
I understand,
together,
but
guys.
You have to also understand how you're being blind to understanding how it is going to suck in people that are very traditional thinkers, very conservative, traditional thinkers.
Tim talks a big game, but I'm pretty sure he's going to adapt this quickly.
No.
No, you will. You will. Trust me. Look, to Heidi's point, what I said in the beginning, we can either take a backseat and be what our grandparents did and say, you're addicted to that phone, or I don't know how to use this contraption. grumpy. Or we can harness it and we can figure out how to best use it. And we can get ahead of it. Because again, look, guys, we've ceded a lot of ground in things that we said that's the demise of society. It's a demise of society if we don't get in and put our stake in the ground and say, okay, or play an active role. That's going to be my opinion from this. We can take a hands-off approach and say, well, it's going to be what it's going to be, and I'm not going to participate and watch the world burn. Or
I'm going to elect people that are going to fucking get this thing fucking stopped.
It's not going to, you can't stop this, man. This is a train that's full speed ahead.
You can deny it all you want, but you're not preparing to live off the grid, to make your own food, to survive preparations. You're not making the preparations to live in any other world. So,
right. I don't want to live in another world. That's why I said, I just need one bullet.
Well,
Demolition Man, they had that whole underground needs one bullet too. Society.
But to me, it's like, evil prevails when good men do nothing. And to me, that's a do nothing approach.
Oh no, I'm gonna fight this shit, and I'm not gonna take part of it, and I will fucking be active in fucking telling people this is fucked up. I'm not taking part in this.
The
shit.
The luck in that is as lucky as the grandparent who said, "You know what? Don't get on that phone. That's gonna ruin your life." And here we are, all addicted to our phones. We all are, folks, because Jeremy keeps looking at his phone, and Heidi looks at her phone every 10 seconds. I'm not judging, but I'm saying that this is reality. This is what's happening. We are all addicted
to our devices.
No, you can't. Stop
it. I would throw this out in a fucking heartbeat if I didn't. Stop it. Unfortunately, it's tied to work.
Exactly. No, and which is what the metaverse is going to be. Now are you going to choose not to participate in the world? And like Heidi says, if you're not preparing to live off the grid, you're not preparing. And then we can't complain if we don't play an active role in trying to see how to mold it, because again, parents said, well, you know what, the school systems, whatever, I will teach my children at home. They're gonna learn from me. And guess what, folks? They didn't. We've lost our society because parents left that role to the schools, and. Here we are trying to figure out how we lost, this generation. I don't think we should be ceding ground. I think we should get ahead of it. To me, some of this is exciting. It's very cool. We cannot acknowledge that it's not. It is, because people are embracing it and they're bringing it on. They're like, yes, like Heidi's point, kids are. I visited this girl once. Sorry, let me make this one final point. I visited this girl once, and this kid maybe was like 2-3 years old. The kid could barely talk. But I promise you, he could use that phone, the touchscreen phone, like second nature. He was like, he knew how to use it. And
they designed this shit for kids to use.
Dude, and I'm telling you, the future generations that is born in this world, they don't know anything else. And so they're just going to think that this is the natural course of things. And why not? Why are we?
That's why it's over. This is over. If everybody says, oh, we're going to embrace this to learn how to use, this is over. This is over.
Then
you guys are enlisted. This is over.
I don't think it's
this
over. I think we still have a chance here.
You have zero chance.
Then why
this
even,
is another
then
why this
participate
a system.
In this? Jim, why are you wasting your time if you think it's over? Then why talk?
With this, like embracing this fucking thing? That's checkmate. That's fucking checkmate.
I don't think so.
How is this any different than, like, to Saul's point, our household recently opened up our screen times to see what everybody did
That's
for screen time. Hold on. What
win.
We all were checking our screen time going, okay, who's got the most screen time? Cause I'm like, I bet I have the least amount of screen time out of everybody in our household. And so we were opening our phones to check. And I was actually tied with everybody else. We all had about the same amount, but all of us for different reasons. Mine is like, you're saying I'm checking you're right. I am. Mine's text messaging. I'm text messaging because that's my communication, right?
Yeah.
Which again, when I look at this, what did I say? What was the first thing I said? This is kind of cool because there are people I haven't seen and I can see them. So for me, in my world, this is a communication, a communication to somebody that I can't see. My best friend, my sister, like the only other person I talk to, which is why my screen time is insane, lives in Florida. And I can't see that. Like this would... We'd always be together physically almost.
Look,
I have
an idea.
Where
And this might be something that might be appealing to you, Tim, which is imagine having, because I haven't, this is not out there. I haven't seen it. Imagine a virtual podcast where the listener can be sitting right next to us.
Yeah.
And we could all be sitting in a virtual. This is coming.
We could do that in the metaverse.
Again, I understand the technology. I see where it's at, but the people running it, it's not for the good. As much as everybody thinks it's not for good. This is not for good.
So are they taking any sort of steps? Because as we all know, technology is addictive, right? We're all, like you said, we're all addicted to our phones. We're all addicted to electricity. We're all addicted to our cars.
Yep.
Are they going to put any sort of tax or whatever words you want to use on the use of this metaverse to pay for the real world problems that it's going to cause? Right. They say they're going to legalize drugs and they're going to tax the hell out of it so that they can help support the people who are addicted to these drugs.
See,
well, they're doing the same thing here. Why
you lose you will lose true human contact because everything is based on reality. So you will be alone.
Yep.
Everything. You will be in your house alone. And let's go to the bar. Let's go to the virtual bar where we're drinking a beer. That's not even real. We're not even drinking the beer. We're doing it all virtually. You take away all sense, all feeling.
And how much is Budweiser going to pay you, Tim, for this virtual beer?
Okay, hold on.
Or charge you for this virtual beer.
Tim, that piece is coming. See, I think you're envisioning this in its infancy. And I'm thinking about this in an immersive, real immersive, you won't know the difference between the real world and the meta world. That's what I'm talking about, where you can feel somebody's touch. You can feel somebody breathing on you. That is what I'm talking about that's coming. This is in its infancy, sure. And, you know, people are going to be like, yeah, but the future is that it will be like a real actual experience as if you're there. This is exactly what he's talking about.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. Bullshit. Regardless, I don't give a shit. That's my opinion, and you ain't gonna fucking change it.
That's fine.
This is fucking evil. I fucking read about this shit, look about it, all this transhumanism. This is going down the wrong fucking path. But I don't got kids, so I really don't give a shit. But I feel bad for every single one of these fucking kids because they're not gonna know what any reality is.
I mean, look, this is what a lot of people said about the age of the phone, about the age of the TV. People said these kids.
And look what it did, they're fucking retarded. These kids are fucking retarded.
But it's here. And
these kids are legitimately fucking retarded.
You were the one who was just telling me you got to go watch this movie. You're participating in a world that people warned about. And I'm telling you that.
I went to go see. This is normal entertainment that we've all done. It doesn't change the way I fucking think.
But there were people when this was coming who said, dude, this is the new devil. And this is going to take people and you're going to be addicted to this shit. And so all I'm saying is that this world is coming. If we don't prepare for it, if we don't say, okay, you know what, instead of fighting it and saying, you know, putting our heads in the sand and saying, whatever, I'm not going to participate, I think we should take a different approach. I think we should get ahead of it and say, well, you know what, let's figure out what we can do to save society instead of taking the approach of like, whatever, fuck it, burn, the world's going to burn, let it burn. I don't take that approach. I think we can and we should do something about it because, again, evil prevails when good people do nothing. And then they put their hands up. Fuck it. I don't care. Okay.
I mean, I kind of look at it to the same side of as having kids. It's something that we need to also understand so we can teach our generations that we're raising that we do have an impact on to say, okay, yeah, this is exciting because of XYZ, but these are the dangers also of what it can be and what it can do and teach both sides of it. I mean, you know, like we talked about the school, we let the schools raise our kids and influence our kids. And there are still some of us out there, Jeremy and I, for example, where we pulled our kids out of there. Went, no. We're not going to let that influence happen because we see what's happening. Well, this is one of those things. I did not know this was coming. I didn't until when you introduced it and you said, we're going to look at it. And I was like, I have no freaking clue what Saul's about to show us and what he's about to educate us. I damn well want to understand and know.
Heidi, they're spending billions.
Are there things about it that's cool to me? Right. But are there things about it that's cool to me? Absolutely. Are there dangers? Abso-freaking-lutely. And I need to educate the kids I'm raising so that they at least I can impact them and they can impact that. And I do have my network of friends that are raising kids to go, hey, you might want to start paying attention to this. This is what I'm learning, who have their heads in the sand about other things. So
let me paint you,
you know, I,
let me, let me for you, Heidi, a scenario. You're a parent of two girls. So here they are in the metaverse. They're full in. And, you know, you're mm-hmm. your mama bear. And like every parent should be doing is, you know, where are my kids? Right. That's every parent's responsibility, right. Their duty. And if you have no idea on how to log into this world, you've lost your daughters to whatever wolf is wearing some freaking avatar of a child.
Absolutely.
Trying to lure them
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
And so,
yep.
And we can say that, oh, well, we're not going to participate in this world, but this world is going to envelop us. And it will, man. This shit is coming, and it's going to come. If we're not preparing to live off the grid, and if we're not leaving our jobs, the workforce is what's going to bring this on, folks. It just is. And I think we can be a light in that darkness, because there will be a lot of darkness and evil, like Tim says, in that fucking shit. This a lot of this
if
is
I
made
have
for
to
evil.
Do this, I will become a criminal in there. I will be a fucking criminal.
You'll be a dark knight. How
no,
about
I'm
that?
Being
you'll be a dark knight.
No, I will be. No, I will become a fucking criminal in there. And I.
But I think you mean like a dark knight, right? You're going to be like getting people who are doing the evil shit, right? That's what
no,
you mean?
No, I will go after everybody. I will fucking destroy everybody's
oh
fucking life in this.
What's your handle going to be? Timmy Two Times. Stay away from Timmy Two Times, everybody. He's going to destroy you.
I will destroy everybody in this.
He will consume. All right, let me end this here. I got a couple more points, and then we'll end it. Oh my God. All right, let me play this.
Project them into the physical world as holograms and augmented reality too. You're going to be able to move across these different experiences on all kinds of different devices, sometimes using virtual reality so you're fully immersed, sometimes using augmented reality glasses so you can be present in the physical world as well, and sometimes on a computer or phone, so you can quickly jump into the metaverse from existing platforms. There are going to be new ways of interacting with devices that are much more natural. Instead of typing or tapping, you're going to be able to gesture with your hands, say a few words, or even just make things happen by thinking about them. Your devices won't be the focal point of your attention anymore. Instead of getting in the way, they're going to give you a sense of presence in the new experiences that you're having and the people who you're with. Now, these are some of the basic concepts for the metaverse. And you know, while this may sound like science fiction, we're starting to see a lot of these technologies coming together. In the next 5 or 10 years, a lot of this is going to be mainstream. And a lot of us will be creating and inhabiting worlds that are just as detailed and convincing as this one on a daily basis. So even though it's still a long way off, we're starting to work on some of these foundational concepts today. Horizon is the social platform that we're building for people to create and interact in the metaverse. One part of this is Horizon Home, which is our early vision for a home space in the metaverse. Horizon Home is the first thing that you'll see when you put on your Quest headset. Today, there are already a bunch of options to choose from, and in the future, anyone will be able to create one. We've just called it home until now because it's been missing something very important: people. Soon, we're going to be introducing a social version of home, where you can invite your friends to join you as avatars.
I'm
going
to forward it to the...
You'll be able to hang out, watch videos together, and jump into apps together. Then, there is Horizon Worlds, which is where you can build worlds and jump into them with people. Horizon is designed to make it possible for everyone to create. And we're already seeing people build some really interesting experiences, from creating new games together, to throwing surprise parties in VR that family and friends around the world can join. We started rolling out Horizon Worlds in beta last year, and we're adding more people and more worlds every day. And we also just launched Horizon Workrooms earlier this year for collaboration.
All right. I'm gonna forward it to the business when they talk about business, because they do gaming and they do a lot of shit, but let me forward it to the business.
Holy shit. This is Roblox. This is what our kids play. Our kids are playing these games. Like I said, those nine girls.
Look at this. And Tim has said this. They're molding kids. There's apps right now that are built to teach kids, young kids, on how to program. Okay?
Our girls are doing them.
Because they're going to build these worlds. Okay? Now,
will own nothing.
Yes.
That's the point of this. The point of all this is a future where you own nothing. You will be happy. The tech overlords are your leaders now with this world. So when you build this world and you come in growing, now it is tied to you. They make it sound fun in the beginning, but this is their plan. I mean, this is it. This is the great narrative. They talked about this at the World Economic Forum this year.
Yeah.
This is their entire plan.
There was this commercial, I think in the early 90s, an MCI commercial. And they were talking about the internet superhighway, and they were talking about a future. Let me see if I can find that commercial, because, and then I'll show you guys this part. But where they talk about, you know what? I'm gonna ruin it. So let me just play it for you guys, because this MCI commercial saw the future in a way that was kind of prophecy, and it also reminds me. Do you guys remember that the commercial by Apple in 1984 when the Macintosh came out? And
The Super Bowl commercial.
Yes, that Super Bowl commercial that basically everybody. And the irony is that Apple has become that man in the screen telling people, you know, this is what you're gonna do. And okay, so but let me find this girl. I think this is the commercial. Hold on.
It started with that Minecraft.
Hold on. Okay. Now I remember the line. It said, there will be no there. Okay, here we go. This commercial. Look at this commercial from MCI 19 something.
There will be a road that will not connect two points. It will connect all points. Its speed limit will be the speed of light. It will not go from here to there.
There will be no more there!
There will be no more there. We will all only be here.
Now, this is a really creepy commercial when you think of it, when you look at it in hindsight, because they were talking about a future where, you know, we're talking about the metaverse now, you know, where people are going to be, there's not going to be any there. It's everybody's going to be here. There's certain things that are, when you relate them to biblical prophecy, you're like, what the freak? Is this a joke? Somebody playing a joke on me here? Because, you know, there's stuff that talks about everybody being present in a certain time. And what makes that possible? A metaverse. Because there's no limitation on how many people can be somewhere. You are all going to be there. There's no talk about room, right? If you want to see a certain speaker, the whole world can see that speaker as if they're there. You see what I'm saying? And technology is what's making that possible. That's why sometimes I've had this conversation with friends where if there is a future, or if we human beings have already been here, and this is the demise, right? This is the beginning of the demise of humanity. This is that Fermi paradox where we, a glass ceiling we cannot get past, because we create technology that eventually destroys us. And when we finally realize that, we're like, well, we should send a message to the future folks. How do we convey to them to not go there, to not build this metaverse, or to not build the atomic bomb, or to not build this, because that's going to be the demise of humanity? And you know, how do we leave this? How do we leave this message to future generations? It's that whole sci-fi thing that I think I've lost you guys on. But anyways, let me finish this. let me finish this from Facebook. This piece he's talking about, applying it in the I think this is the work.
But how long is this whole video?
It's an hour long.
It's an hour long. It was like a town hall.
You gonna put a
link in the description so everybody can.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description so people can watch the video in its entirety. But let me, the portion where it talks about work and how this is going to come into the workforce.
Wait, hold on. Heidi had something.
Oh, what, Heidi? What?
So I asked Bella to bring up her phone to me so that I could figure out, find it. It's the game these kids are playing is called Roblox, and they have their friends that they pick, and there's all these different scenarios that they get to build out their rooms, basically, where they all meet and they play out these, build these homes, build these whatever. And one of them is if you're in jail, being in jail.
What?
Here's a build a boat for survival.
Wow.
And they like there's I don't even know how many are on here. Hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them. And we're talking like thousands and thousands. And the kids can like anybody. This one, Welcome to Bloxburg, has 90,000 people playing in it.
Think about that. Think about who in that 90,000 kids, right? Let's say you go into one of those rooms. What's to say that you don't have a bunch of creepy motherfuckers?
You do.
Playing this game.
They're there.
No. And now they're talking to these kids.
Yes.
Right? And they're grooming them there. They're so, performing acts inside this world.
So I will say, hold on.
That they are in love with the real person outside.
That's okay, but so I will say now to the parent that's not involved, Tim, you're right. The parent that's now I'm obviously we're very involved. So like I have the kids have to friend whoever they're in the room with, or there can't be communication within that room between whoever's in the room. So like Bella's got 12 friends who she knows all of them. She's not talking to just strangers, but I do know somebody recently who had that happen, that their kid was talking to strangers. They were looking for attention and the parents were not aware of what was going on. And they were talking to strangers, and then they figured it out and found out otherwise. But for the parent that's not involved, which is a good majority,
they're not teenagers yet, right? So let's say you have a 16-year-old teenager.
So
you're not going to be on top of them as much as you are.
I was with Connor. But again, it depends on the parent, and there are controls. There are ways as a parent. To your point, a lot of them, the majority of them today, they stop paying attention. We have a little girl that comes to visit me, freaking adore her. And her mother gave her a phone at the age of 2 years old because she wanted it to entertain her. And so at 2 years old, I'm telling you, she got on the kids. She's not allowed to use the phone in my home and she's not allowed to use the phone in her father's home. But she got on the girls and she was the one telling me. That's how I found out about going to jail. It's because she's like, oh no, I'm in jail. And I was, what? You're three. How in the hell? And she like I so of course I let dad know, hey, heads up, this is what your kid's doing when at mom's. But I see what you're saying. There's dangers, and I'm just glad that I'm glad you're bringing this up because this is something new I'm not aware of. And when the girls go to Scott's, they have VR access. They do. And
but see, if a parent takes the approach of, well, you know, I'm not going to get involved and. This is going to come whether however much we kick and scream. This is here, folks. It's here. And the best thing that you can do is be aware and don't be naive about it and don't be ignorant about this technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Become an expert in this technology so that you can protect your kids in this shit. It's a fucking ugly world, folks. And the virtual world is no different. It's the same goddamn people, except now they have anonymity. And with anonymity comes fucking weird shit.
Now think about this real quick. Right now, the biggest fucking sex ring fucking scandal that's ever happened in this fucking world, that trial is going on right now, which is about to end with the goose egg, most likely.
Ghislaine Maxwell.
You're making it easier. You're making it easier for these people to go. There's a lot more fucked up teenagers out there that are lost in this world because they come from these broken ass fucking homes. I hate daddy. I hate mommy. They're divorced. Nobody loves me. I'm a drug addict. And now you get somebody like Maxwell. Oh, hey, come to my room. And they're all in this room. Come to my world. Man, you're so awesome. Hey, we should meet up in real life. You're a cool person. And then boom, like you're making this shit easier. I don't give a fuck. Yes. Like anything. I was very against iPhones and Androids and all this shit. I said, this is bad. I was against it from the jump. then of course you get sucked into it because you need it for work, you need it for this. Now it's they built it in to become part of your staple in life, to where it's become a necessity. I still hate this fucking thing. I fucking hate it. I really
you're on
do.
It every day. You're sending us messages every.
I know. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it. No, you have no idea how much I fucking hate this thing. I really do. I really fucking do. When the day comes where I never need a fucking cell phone again, I'm going to be a really happy fucking guy. I'm no bullshit.
That's never going to happen.
But there are, just like anything, there are goods to this. Can you say that? Can I find some good in this metaverse? Absolutely. You want to connect with family from across the pond because you can't afford, you know, because of flying and vaccines and all that. I get that. That is probably 1% of good. The rest of this shit is evil when you read what they want to do with this technology. That is where I'm getting at. It's technology is great, right? Technology is great. We have great lives because of technology. You know what I mean? We're technologists. We work in this field. But you see, when they start basing this technology and tying it to other things, to other, you know, for greater plan, now it becomes evil. And that's why I'm against this. Would it be great to be sitting in a room with my dad right now? Absolutely, because fucker's not going to be a lot. He's on his back nine. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
Can't see him every day.
Praying for your dad, man.
But would it be nice? Yes. But that is pretty much it. That little 1% of connectivity to people that you can't see all the time? Absolutely. But what they want to base this on? Absolutely not.
So do you think, Tim, that if you could see your dad every day, that would be like living with him again, like when you were a teenager? Did you get along with him really well when you were a teenager?
Oh, yeah. We fucking played cards every day. He let me smoke in the house. We had coffee. You know what I mean? But that's how me and my dad bonded. We bonded by drinking coffee and playing cards, because nothing else we can do, even to this day. We can't even, like, if I have to meet him, hey, help me fucking put this table together. Me and him cannot do it together. It would be fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'm leaving.
Who's this?
Me and my dad.
Oh,
but we play cards. No, but I mean, you've seen the way me and my dad interact. You know what I mean? We sit there and we talk all this shit to each other. But that's it.
I guess my point is, it's the absence that makes, you know,
the heart
makes you grow fonder, right? And so, if you had access to these people every day, would it be the same?
Have a cup of coffee with them and bullshit. Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. You know what I mean? Where you can have think about what you went through, right? Let's say, hey, you were able to put everything on and at least be in the room.
Yeah.
With everybody to,
yeah,
you know, for the, you know, yeah, for yeah, the last couple of days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would
at
be
least
awesome.
You had closure where you, that's that 1%, 2% that's good.
I would like to see Facebook's marketing or research, whatever you want to call it, about how many hours a day or a week or a month do they expect people to be in this universe?
Oh, it's tied to their
stock
options.
Well, think about it this way, to Jeremy, because see, what I said in the beginning was this, and to Tim's point, and the malevolence in this is for data harvesting, folks. They're going to harvest your data. They're going to sell your data, so that they can sell you more products, so that they can make more money. Okay? Companies, businesses are amoral. They would sell their mothers for a profit. Okay? And the bottom line is money. That's what's the driving force behind this. But it brings on every bad aspect of this. Now, I am of the belief that I feel that there's a lot of good that can be done. Especially during these lockdowns, and that's why I think this was a way to prepare people for this and have people be more open to this. Oh, I don't have to visit him and risk getting COVID. Yay, the virtual world! And I'm gonna show you right now how they plan to do this in the corporate world and how. To your point, Jeremy, do they expect people to be on here all day? Yes, they do, because if you can be logged into this virtual world in work and interact with your coworkers virtually. See, they're going to sell this because think of how they believe. This is the woke culture that feels that pollution is wrong and COVID is deadly. And what's the best solution for this is have people drive less so they can meet virtually and have people meet less so that they don't spread diseases. And so here you have the perfect storm for this shit.
This is actually worse.
I can control my whole office without spending the money on overhead for office space.
But this is actually worse for the environment. Your carbon footprint with this is actually worse. Because what does all this rely on?
Compute
servers,
power.
Hardware. Yeah. Yeah. Compute power. What's compute power based on?
Money.
Energy.
Well, electricity.
Power.
Yeah.
Power. Power.
What consumes power?
Servers. Everything.
I mean, what do we use to power
fossil
the
fuels?
Grid?
Coal.
Fossil fuels. So now what you're really doing is consuming more fossil fuels while they're getting rich, and you're stuck in this alternate reality world that you cannot control. And if you step out of line, you lose everything.
Do you guys remember in the Matrix?
I mean, it's right here. It's their plan. Right here.
The first movie of the Matrix, there was a character in that. And I think there's a lot of people who are like this, folks, who will welcome that virtual world because they want to get out of their real world today. It was
the miserable fucks. The character They're liberals.
Who betrayed the people who had left, the people who lived in Zion, for those who know the movie. And he betrayed them because he was like, hey, man, look, in this real world, I'm eating this thing made of fucking mush. And I forgot what the taste of steak was like. And so he decided that he would rather live in this plugged in world and be somebody than to be out in the real world. And there's a lot of people who do that today, folks. They're doing that today. They live in the virtual world. They don't interact with people. And this is just another. Now, Jeremy made a point earlier, is what are the repercussions, mental, psychological effects, the long-term effects? We don't know yet because this is so fucking new, but there will be.
Well, we do know the side effects.
And who's going to pay for those repercussions? Well, not going to be Zuckerberg.
Right. We know what the side effects were already. If you look at lockdowns, you know, we all thought, all right, cool. Hey, we'll do virtual happy hour. Cling to the monitors. We made that the new normal. And then after 2 weeks, we were like, fuck this shit. This is not normal. You know what I mean? It's not normal. Very Even true. When you put the glasses on, it's not going to be normal. But when they make that your norm, hey, you got to be plugged in for fucking 8 hours because you're really not working because you have these goggles on you. You're actually in these other worlds.
Let's think about it.
Again, that's going to be for those of us.
Let's think about it from a good place. Somebody who loses their legs is able to plug into a world and feel what it is like to walk again. You know, somebody who lost their arms into
Avatar.
No, but exactly. That's what's coming. He said this is in its infancy, but this is coming. Somebody who doesn't have arms is going to be able to feel the sensation of hugging their child or hugging their parent.
Okay.
This is coming.
Let's go back to that.
Upload on
you,
Amazon.
Let's say I lose my legs in an accident and I plug into this metaverse. What incentive is there for me to ever leave it?
Exactly.
There is none.
They don't want you leaving.
Who's going to pay for my medical bills? Who's going to pay for my power? Who's going to pay for? I'm not leaving this.
No,
they'll start tying money to the metaverse. Yeah. You watch. They'll start tying money to it.
Look. Look,
especially if you're working in it. If you're working in the metaverse, then you're getting paid in the metaverse.
Right, but this is their vision. Getting paid in the metaverse translate into getting paid in real life? Because I have a real life house that I have to pay for. I have a real life
power
bill.
Sure, it does. That's the whole Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Right, but what this is, what this alternate reality is going to do is it's going to watch your electricity, how much you consume. It's going to look at your carbon footprint to tax you, to do the carbon tax, because they're actually testing this right now. MasterCard is. Go look it up. It's real, right? Every purchase you make with your MasterCard, if you're in this program, they're seeing how much carbon you use and then showing you in your output, like, you've consumed this much carbon. This is your carbon footprint. So if we were to tax you on this, this is how much you would have to pay for your carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Okay. And it also ties into the social credit scores. So now, this world allows you in the real world, it controls what you have access to. Can you access to travel? Can you access to go into the doctor? Can you access to go to this restaurant? This is why everybody's been fighting the fucking vax passport, because this all ties in. This is like a three, four step process that The fuck do this is in the World Economic Forum's roadmap. This is not him being conspiracy theory. This is from their mouths. This is from Klaus Schwab's mouth. You know what I mean? This is what he wants. And all these companies, if you look at all the companies tied to this, Facebook's one of the top ones.
I guess when they talked about a new world order, we didn't realize that it was going to be virtual. All right. Let me play this and we'll close it out. We got to close it out. But again, how they're going to apply it in the workforce. And I think this is when you say, Jeremy, I don't want to participate unless you quit your job.
It's time for everyone's favorite work. Over the last year and a half, a lot of us who work in offices have gone remote. And while I miss seeing the people I work with, I think remote work is here to stay for a lot of people. So we're going to need better tools to work
every day.
Let's take a look at what working in the metaverse will be like. Imagine if you could be at the office without the commute. You would still have that sense of presence, shared physical space, those chance interactions that make your day all accessible from anywhere. Now imagine that you have your perfect work setup.
You know that was a dude that probably waved at him and had a female avatar.
100%. 100%. He's fucking training.
You can actually do more than you could in your regular work setup. And on top of all that, you can keep wearing your favorite sweatpants.
Looking good. Let's get together real quick for a debrief.
I'm free now. Let's jump in. Hi.
Hey.
So what do we think?
I think it's ready.
Great.
I'll prep it for the presentation.
All right. Good luck.
Imagine a space where you can tune out distractions and focus on the task at hand. And when you're ready to share what you've been working on, you can present it as if you're right there with the team.
Wait, where's Mark?
I think he's in the middle of something.
You can already see some of these elements in Horizon Workrooms, which we launched a couple of months ago. Later this year, we plan to introduce room customization, so you can put your own logos and posters in your workrooms. We're also introducing a new office space in Horizon Home, for when you want your perfect workspace to do some focused work or just cross a few things off your to-do list. We're also announcing 2D progressive web apps for the Quest Store, and as a new developer frameworks, they're easier to build. So you can drop in and check on a work project while you're in VR using services like Dropbox, Slack, or stay connected with Facebook and Instagram. This starts bringing more of your 2D internet services into the metaverse. And as we've focused more on work, and frankly, as we've heard your feedback more broadly, we're working on making it so you can log into Quest with an account other than your personal Facebook account. We're starting to test support for work accounts soon, and we're working on making a broader shift here within the next year. I know this is a big deal for a lot of people. Not everyone wants their social media profile linked to all these other experiences, and I get that, especially as the metaverse expands. And I'll share more about that later. But I'm genuinely optimistic about work in the metaverse. We know from the last couple of years that a lot of people can effectively work from anywhere. But hybrid is going to be a lot more complex when some people are together and others are still remote. So giving everyone the tools to be present, no matter where they are, whether as a hologram sitting next to you in a physical meeting or in a discussion taking place in the metaverse, that's going to be a game changer. I think this could be very positive for our society and economy. Giving people access to jobs and more places, no matter where they live, will be a big deal for spreading opportunity to more people. Dropping our daily commutes will mean less time stuck in traffic and more time doing things that matter. And it'll be good for the environment. Actually, if you travel for work and work in the metaverse,
there it is.
You just take one less.
I just read it.
You just
better than almost anything else that you can do.
I just read their fucking plan.
You just got buy-in from every millennial or every freaking woke.
But this is what they don't realize. They do not realize what they're signing up for. They don't realize because they make it again. What have we learned in the last fucking 5 years? Okay, because we knew about it before, but especially in the last 5 years, what did we learn? They targeted people's emotions to bring out the hate for Donald Trump, for conservatives, for conservative ideas, making you think they're fucking Nazi and all this crazy shit. Okay. But now they're attacking it again by saying, look what the environment can do and blah, blah, blah. And give me and let can consume my product. They are attacking their social saying, oh, look, it's good for the economy. It's good for this. It's good for him. It's good for the people that control this shit.
Yeah.
This does not benefit you or me at all. Sorry, it doesn't. Zero benefit to this.
Did you guys ever hear of the game Sims?
Yeah, I love that game.
You love that game. But this is Sims.
I stopped playing it. Yeah. No.
Right, Saul? Yeah. Come on now.
The original Sims, yeah. But again, you were still in your own reality.
It's going to turn more into Leisure Suit Larry.
Let me ask
dude, that
you.
Was a great game. That was a great game. Jeremy, I mean, dude, Tim. I was a kid and my parents couldn't get in and I answered all the questions when let me ask you this, 7 years old.
Where will you draw the line? Okay. Say tomorrow your work comes and says, all right, we're going to start doing these virtual, metaverse meetings. Is that when you put in your resignation?
Yeah, I sold my house.
Where are you going to go?
It'll come. No, because then you should be doing that now. Because they're already having you on your Zoom meetings face to face, showing your videos.
We do no video at my job. My team does not do any video.
You don't do any virtual meetings?
Zero. Nope.
So you don't do virtual meetings. Do Zoom meetings. You have no idea what your team member.
I have no idea what my teammates look like. Zero idea. Based on their team's picture, that's the only picture I've ever seen. I've only met three of my coworkers in real life.
But in a way, you are meeting virtually because you're not there.
You're still. Excuse me. You're still communicating with them via some way.
Right, through the phone. We literally talk a Zoom meeting, but voice. I mean, technically, we're doing virtual. I mean, yeah. There's always going to be some virtual aspects, but to be in a completely virtual reality tied to, social credit scores and whether you can fucking go on flights and all that shit, that's where I draw the fucking line. That's why I do
right
not support
now.
It.
You use an iPhone. The iPhone is tracking you no matter what setting you put it on.
Yeah.
Is it stopping
me from doing anything right now? Is any of the technology we use stopping me from getting on a plane? Or society saying you're good or bad.
No, but you're feeding into the beast, regardless of what, because you're saying I'm going to put my foot down, but I don't know when you're going to put your foot down because you're already participating in this world.
I will not support this.
Oh, let me.
I will not be in any part of this world.
When? At what point? Which one is it going
to
be?
If it becomes mandatory, I'm out. If I have to get a vaccine, I'm out. If I have to comply with this bullshit, I'm out. Because at that point, you can't say, well, I'm not going to comply with vaccine mandates and then say, oh, I'm going to embrace this. It's the same. You can't have one without the other. It's all tied together. So it's either you have to be against it all or you're in on all of it.
I think they're gradations.
It's all tied together.
Yeah, but Tim, you're saying something, but you're doing something completely different. You're saying you're not
got vaccinated.
Tim, but you're participating in the world of data harvesting, which is feeding into this. You are. You have an iPhone. You have a nice laptop there.
Yeah, but I use it to do Zoom. I don't do anything on this thing.
That's okay.
I
Zoom
don't even
is the do- same deal. You're doing it I now think, with all of us.
Yeah, I think you're putting a hard line, but you don't know where that hard line is. And I think your hard line, you crossed it a long time ago.
Alternate reality is my hard line. All
right.
This shit is my hard fucking line.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see. But in the meantime, I'm now scared because I know my husband's hard line. I'm fucked.
I'm telling you guys, we need to get off the grid. We need to start freaking buy some land up in Northern Arizona.
I know my husband's hard line. I've watched it and I'm watching it unfold.
I'm 100% in agreement with that. It is now time to start thinking like that where people of like-mindedness, fuck these cities, all that. You have to build communities that are self-sufficient, off the grid.
We'll be the new
that
Amish.
No, but seriously, hey, everybody laughs, but if all your money's tied to the stock market and to all these people that control it, right? All our 401ks. Right now, people aren't paying attention. Fucking everything that's going on with China and Russia right now, they're looking to pull out of out of SWIFT, which is, you know, that's the petrodollars, you know? So if they pull out of that, the US dollar, fuck, guess what? If this shit happens and they pull out and they decide to go to war,
breadline,
milk will be $50. Mm-hmm. Fucking electricity, a gallon of gas. Yeah, we're bitching about $3.79 right now. Yeah, that's going to be about $10. So everyone, people will be begging for this shit just to fucking not have to deal with it. It's all by fucking design. You will own nothing in their world. That is their plan. They want you to own nothing and be happy. And they control it. That is their plan. They tell you it's their plan.
All right, we're going to leave it there.
Not conspiracy when they say it.
We'll leave it, unless anybody has any closing thoughts, we'll leave it there. Ladies and gentlemen,
Saul.
Yes, sir.
Where are your funny videos?
Yeah, I need some happy thoughts.
Boy, like, where is the happy thoughts?
Tim's Jesus. Like, the end of the world. Fuck everything.
What a bummer, man.
No, look.
Happy thoughts.
No, look, I obviously don't share most of it. I do believe that there are some good applications to this. There are. It's like anything. Anything can be used for good. A phone can be used for good and evil. You can make a phone call to your mother. That's a good thing. You know, you can meet virtually with your parents. That's a great thing. That's a good thing. But
during the COVID thing, when we couldn't see my mom, being able to FaceTime her.
2%
good. Words can't even put.
Right.
2% good, 98% bad.
But that's
and we look at that 2% go and that benefits us.
But that's reality.
I don't think it's 98% bad. I think that's what the.
Oh, and you know what? Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. But thank you for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a follow, hit the like button, share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.
.com.